The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie where we're like, Robert De Niro is a caricature of an Italian mobster? Huh. Before eventually we were like, Robert De Niro is a caricature of an Italian mobster? Huh.
The movie that taught tough guy mobsters everywhere the most powerful gun, feelings.
The movie where Robert De Niro and Chaz Palminteri play down on their luck firefighters. Barely scraping by on minimum wage, raising one child in the middle of... I'm just kidding. They're mobsters. Again.
This is Analyze This on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
That's right. If you somehow skipped the last episode for some goddamn dumb reason, like a dummy.
Yeah, that was a great movie that we saw.
Sure was.
That movie from the 90s that we saw.
Definitely 90s movie we definitely watched.
Yeah, you remember it's a sport.
But if you skipped it, you may not know that we have left the 80s far, far behind. And at this point, actually, we're talking 1999 for this movie. So they're long gone. We're about to like hit Matrix times and fucking start wearing trench coats and dancing to techno and shit.
Y2K. Y2K,
that's right.
Y2K, they were like, this movie's never going to get released because all their computers are going to destroy the world.
We're firmly in the Attitude Era. Of the WWE.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we're deep into that.
Yeah. Just Stone Cold Stunners left and right.
Yeah, he was just crushing like Coors Lights and tossing them out into fucking crowds.
That's right.
Yeah. His whole thing is, I'm just a fucking hick backwards truck driver, just like the rest of you guys.
They're just scum.
And everybody's like, fuck yeah, you are.
Drink more beer like we do. Yeah.
So anyway, this is Analyze This. Back in 1999, this movie did, in fact, gross $106 million,
$885,000. Which, pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
For any time a comedy, in this day and age especially, any time a comedy's up there.
Yeah. In 99, they were like, hey, did you see those 55-year-old dudes acting a fool up there? That's what I want to give all my fucking money to.
Yeah, of course.
This was a time kind of where, like, all these guys were coming back a little bit in comedies, or, like, dramatic comedies a lot, and people were just eating it up. Jack Nicholson was doing this.
Sure. Bill Murray.
Bill Murray was doing it, obviously, with the brilliant
Wes Anderson stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody was just like, nah, I want to see those old guys come back.
This is a weird turning point for Robert De Niro.
It is. It's not the first time that he did something like comedic. Because he had done Mad Dog and Glory already.
He'd done some funny stuff, but...
But this is the first time that he did like a caricature of a mobster guy that then he would keep doing over and over again.
Yeah, and even when he's not specifically a mobster guy, because Meet the Parents, he's not a mobster guy. He's supposed to be like a CIA guy or a cop or something. Yeah. FBI,
but
he's like
a super intimidating guy.
Yeah. The whole point is that like, hey, I'll fucking kill you.
Don't fuck with this guy. Yeah. This is the guy that, you know, has done some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, his characters have done some shit.
Yeah, they sure have. Robert De Niro, on the other hand, he's an actor.
Yeah.
He acts.
He insists that you call him Bobby on set.
I guess Bobby De Niro.
That's how nice, how so much of a nice guy he is.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was the first time that he was like, yeah, I'm going to, like, that they really used it, blew it up. Now, yeah. Harold Ramis directed this movie.
Yeah, which is awesome. The legendary Harold Ramis.
We've talked about a couple of Harold Ramis directed movies, right?
Yeah, we have. I believe so.
Yeah. Harold Ramis does a really good job of directing this movie. This movie was actually funnier than I remembered when I saw it when I was, I don't know, six years old.
3 years old.
Yeah. I remember me and a bunch of my other 6-year-old friends went into the movies to go watch it together.
I believe you were trying to make out with a girl, you said?
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, as a six-year-old,
that's really what you're into.
Because I was born in 93.
Yeah, so of course.
As a supple 6-year-old.
That's what it says on your Tinder profile.
Yeah, yeah, you got damn right. I didn't delete my old Tinder profile. and then start a new Tinder profile with a new date of birth to fucking
to not be born in 1993.
Yeah, exactly. I can pass for 93. I can't pass for 99, but 93 I can still pass for.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of makeup to make me do it.
You take what you can get.
Yeah, exactly. It had really good, just laugh out loud moments that were just kind of like peppered in there.
Oh yeah.
So it was just randomly, although a lot of jokes were Robert De Niro saying something and then Billy Crystal being like, huh, and then Robert De Niro saying it again serious and then Billy Crystal being like, oh.
Yeah.
That's like 14 jokes in the first half of the movie.
That's definitely, I mean, that is the joke of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
If this movie was an SNL skit.
Was one joke, yeah.
Then that's the SNL skit. The SNL skit is scary guy says a thing and you go, he's just kidding, right? No, he's not. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the first half of the movie is just that.
For sure.
Yeah. Then it eventually gets into some other funny territory stuff.
That's true. Yeah. And a little bit of dramatic stuff that doesn't really go anywhere or pay off. Or
no. We don't need
really
it to
work. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
We have one squirrely Jewish guy from New York being a therapist. I know. Crazy. Never heard of that.
No.
Go back to any fucking 90s sitcom where they talk about a therapist and listen to the last name that they say. Yeah. I'm not making this up. This is just like what is
it? Yeah,
it's a thing that they
say. It's a thing.
And then with an Italian mobster dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also crazy.
Yeah. Whoever thought of Italians?
Whoever thought of Italians is mobster. Yeah. So the story goes, and the movie starts off with Robert De Niro's character doing a voiceover talking about this giant meeting that it's a real meeting.
Yes, this is a very famous meeting.
A famous meeting that happened in the out in the boonies in a farm.
Yep.
Where all the heads of all the mobsters showed up because one of the big mobsters had just been killed.
Yeah, I think a couple of people had been killed.
Yeah, it was like a war going on. So all the heads got together, and they got together in this weird farm, and then like the actual FBI showed up.
Right.
And they all, like, escaped.
Yeah.
They didn't make any fucking arrests or anything. Like, they just all got away. But his father was a part of that.
Right.
Yeah. Now, he's kind of based in
giving
John Gotti.
Giving you a very early, you know, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah.
His father might be important.
Yeah, exactly. And then you find out that they're going to have another meeting like that because there's... You know, there's trouble a-brewing.
Trouble a-brewing.
Surprise, surprise in the mobster world.
Yeah.
But then Robert De Niro almost gets killed in the very beginning.
That's true.
And his friend gets killed. And then we cut to good old Billy Crystal being bored at his job as a psychiatrist.
Talking to Molly Shannon.
Talking to Molly Shannon. Actually, I thought she was going to keep coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, actually, because it had been a while, like you said. I also saw this movie in the theaters when I was I'm younger than you, so I was, I guess, what,
three,
five and a half at the time,
something like that.
And went with my parents, you know, because they figured an R-rated movie perfect for a 5-year old.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember my dad laughing and laughing and laughing, and I not understanding any of the jokes, being 5 years old myself.
Yeah.
But I remember this movie pretty well. But when I saw Molly Shannon's name in the credit, I was like, oh, she must like have a part. She must be like a thing in the movie.
Yeah.
She's not.
Nope. There's one other recurring female character. Actually, the movie doesn't do a good job with the female characters.
Well.
Yeah. But it's like the girl that he's banging, that Robert De Niro's banging.
Well, and even she, I think she's only in, what, 1.5 scenes?
Yeah, 1.5 scenes. Exactly. Yeah. But no, she shows up in the beginning and just to show us that Billy Crystal's is bored of his job.
Yeah, his job, it's
being a psychiatrist, you know, not that much
fun. You're
just
listening to idiots moan about whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
They even has the little like dream sequence in the middle
where he yells at her
and then it's like, oh, that's what he wants to do, but he's just like, boring old Billy Crystal.
He's only charging like $150 an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
But
what
he's
a
also,
miserable life he must live, making six figures, living in a nice big house in New York.
Out of his house, too. Yeah. Like, he doesn't even have an office. He doesn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, well, and also, that's just money you're saving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But he does have a weird relationship with his father that, again, does not pay off.
So this is a big problem, and I wasn't going to bring it up till later, but you dropped the bomb.
Yeah.
So let's get into it.
Yeah.
Tell me about your dad, Francisco. No, I mean,
yeah.
Here's the therapy. Yeah, let's really talk. How does your father make you feel about not addressing his issues in this Billy Crystal movie?
What's that Simpsons joke? Like, we're gonna break you down to the level of infants, then build you up, then break you down again, then lunch, and if there's time, we build you up one more time.
So this movie clearly is setting up this whole father issue thing, and it's also setting up this dual storyline where Robert De Niro is, you know, he's the gangster, he's the big bad, and he's got to learn to, like, get in touch with his feelings and be okay with his dad's, you know, with his father's death and all this stuff. And, you know, grow up and be like a fully realized human being, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, it's mostly a comedy, but that's like the underlying emotional pen.
Yeah, yeah.
But also that Billy Crystal, who's bored with his life and isn't really happy, and he's, you know, going on to a second marriage, and he doesn't have a good relationship with his dad, that he's also learning from Robert De Niro how to, like, stand up for himself a little bit and maybe be a little more aggressive and
and
maybe come to terms with his dad. Only they just forget about that storyline like 40 minutes in.
All that is set up and never pays out.
Yeah, so they never address the stuff with his dad. They never,
because they're
really,
like, the Robert De Niro stuff is really funny.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's what we're going with. Yeah.
I really feel like that's it. They're like, well, we got the movie. How long's the movie right now? It's 2 hours and 10 minutes. That's too long.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Let's cut it down to 140. What are we going to cut? Well, you're not cutting the Bobby De Niro funny shit.
Yeah, he's fucking great.
Yeah.
Also,
did you hear that bit where he goes, this guy, yeah, and he points a lot? We're not cutting any of that.
No, that's funny. That's funny stuff. That's where the yucks come from.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And we're not cutting Billy Crystal's improv scene at the meeting.
No, because
he's being like an gold.
He's a Jewish guy pretending to be an Italian guy. Yeah. It's crazy.
He's slapping a fat guy. It's funny.
They're like, what about all the Billy Crystal stuff?
Nope. The kissing? God. No, we got to keep that in. The cliche stuff, we're keeping that. Them eating Italian food, we're goddamn keeping that.
Goddamn right, we're keeping that.
Yeah. Also, it looked delicious.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
It really made me want some Italian food.
Yeah,
this
I was
movie.
Like, I've been to Olive Garden in a while.
Yeah.
I was like, the clams, though. I wanted some clams because that's what he was eating.
Yeah, that's true. Like the clam linguine. Looked delicious.
They also kind of go like lowest common denominator in this movie where it's just like they set up Robert De Niro to have all. It actually, I thought was a PTSD thing because he almost dies in the beginning.
Right.
And it's kind of set
up like
that.
Or maybe it's about, and it's his friend dies too. And it's like, all right, so now you got to deal with like the reality of death.
Yeah. So, okay. So then jumping back into the plot. Robert De Niro has a guy he's trying to find out who killed his friend.
Oh, he has a guy.
So they have a guy on a chair, like tied to a chair.
That's right.
And he's going to beat him to death with a pipe because the guy knows it because the guy says it.
And like every guy in this movie, you know this guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've seen this guy.
He's got all the guys.
He's a guy.
So here's what happened. they were like, all right, we need mobsters, but it is not. This is a comedy. So we need kind of like the most generic mobsters you could find, but we need like 40 of them.
Right.
And then Harold Ramis went to Blockbuster Video and rented Casino.
That's true.
And he's like, can we use these 40 guys?
Yeah.
And they were like, yes, you can use those 40 guys.
Yeah.
Because first of all, they're not actors. Scorsese just brought dudes from the fucking Italian
from
street.
The mob. Yeah.
Yeah. And second of all, we all know these guys.
Yep.
So that's exactly it. It's everybody from Casino and everybody from Goodfellas that just plays that guy in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all. It's all those guys. Except for his...
And I mean, even the same with Chaz, like, you know, Bronx Tale and all that shit. Like,
yeah, Chaz Palminteri.
He's very much in that... in that mold at the time.
Yeah. I do feel like he never got to the level of like De Niro and Pesci.
Oh, obviously.
And all them, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he got so close.
He got close.
But
he had
was
a run.
Just, I think his eyebrows were just too thick.
That might be.
Yeah. Like he was just, because he had Bronx Tale. Yeah, he had a coat. And now obviously.
Usual
was,
Suspects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Fat Tony in The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
Maybe he was a character way too early on.
He went Fat Tony immediately.
Yeah, right
away. Yeah.
So then De Niro can't kill this guy with the pipe. And they were just like, that's a little weird. But all right.
You can play it off because you're like, he doesn't know anything. I can tell. I'm that fucking, I'm smart.
Yeah, yeah. I read true crime novels. Yeah. I know what's going on. But that set it, again, it set up, for me at least, this thing where I was like, oh, it's PTSD that he's dealing with and the death of his friend.
Right.
Then they were like, we got to simplify that more. Father issues. What is the thing that machismo guys have? Father issues.
Sure.
And then we just pivot to father issues, and eventually it just becomes all about that.
Right. And again, it ties in perfectly to what fucking Billy Crystal's dealing with.
But again, does not pay off.
But does
also,
not pay off.
Also, I like that we see like Robert De Niro kind of like dealing with that a little bit, and then it just comes back. Like, it's just kind of like a badass at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's how therapy works.
That's how therapy works, man. You just get over that shit.
I don't know if you've ever done therapy, but the therapist breaks you all the way down till you're a sobbing mess. And then you're just like, you know what? I'm over this.
Yeah.
And then you just walk in and whatever. And then that's it. That's all of it.
Yeah, no, that sounds right. Yeah. I mean, I don't like to get super personal on this podcast because, you know, I feel like there should be a certain privacy and everything else. This is, you know, a certain respect for myself and my family and my personal issues and stuff that I'm going through. But if I'm going to come clean, and I feel like at this point I should, we're 200, almost 200 issues in.
Yeah.
People know me, and people know that you should know at least that I go to therapy every weekend, and the bartender says, "You want more?" And I say, "Yes."
I was wondering if you were going to go at the D&D.
Oh, yeah. That actually is legit therapy for me.
I did therapy for a couple of years, and it's not at all like Billy Crystal pretending to yell at me or not paying attention. It's actually just a dude telling me back what I fucking know already.
I mean, he does do a lot of that.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you think about that? Yeah. I mean, that's the old joke with therapy, right? Mm-hmm. That's all. Every joke about psychiatrists is just like, well, what do you think about that?
Yeah. But it does, it takes years. That's right. Kind of the thing, right? But that's for Robert De Niro, man. He's a mobster. He's a badass.
Yeah, he's a badass.
It takes him one day.
Yeah.
Actually,
it takes him like two and a half weeks.
Like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah,
maybe. That's it, though. And then he comes back a normal guy. Anyway, all right. So he can't kill the guy.
I mean, in fairness, he is still in therapy at the end of the movie.
That's true. He is.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro can't kill the guy. And then we find out that good old Billy Crystal is going to get married.
Right.
That's where we get the father thing.
Obviously, when you're a, what is he, 48 or something in this movie, pushing 50?
Yeah.
When you're, you know, a 50-ish old guy in New York, you're a professional, you're making good money, you're a psychiatrist. Obviously, what you're going to marry is a younger woman. That goes without saying.
Yeah.
But
it's
of course,
a second marriage, too.
It's a second marriage, of course, is a younger woman, which is, you know, it's fine. But also someone that lives 2,000 miles away who you met somehow.
Yeah.
Who's in a completely different field than you.
Yeah.
Has never been to New York, has never met your parents. You've never met their parents. You're somehow dating, question mark?
Yeah. In this movie where Robert De Niro just follows Billy Crystal and ruins his life, like, turn after turn, and it has so many weird, Italian stereotypes and ridiculous mobster stereotypes, most unbelievable thing is, why would Billy Crystal be in love with fucking with Lisa Kudrow?
How did they meet?
How
did they date?
He's not a famous guy.
How are they getting married?
Yeah, you know what? It would have been an easy fix. The scene is Billy Crystal is talking to his dad, trying to get his dad to go to the wedding, and his dad's like, "Nah, I got a new book. I got some tiny shit set up for shit."
Sure.
But it would have been an easy fix if Billy Crystal would have just been like, well, she's that reporter that interviewed you. You introduced us. Like, that's it.
Way to... why? How? Yeah.
There's no way. I don't understand how they...
One is in New York. One is in Miami.
He has to go down to Miami.
That's right.
To go after her. Yeah.
And they make it pretty clear she has been a Miami reporter for a long time.
It's not like she's finally leaving.
Yeah. It's not like she was in New York until recently.
Yeah.
And it's not like he was in Miami.
No. Clearly he's not. He wasn't.
No, he definitely was not in Miami.
I mean, if he was in Miami, he was in Miami for one weekend.
And yes, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he goes to Miami 20 years from now to retire because, you know, Jewish.
Yeah. There is a really good bit. The bit is Billy Crystal is talking to his son, and his son is talking about Billy Crystal's dad, and then he accidentally rear-ends the car.
Right.
They have that guy that Robert De Niro was supposed to kill with the pipe.
Then pops out in the trunk and is kicking around.
He pops out just kicking around. The two guys, De Niro's like right hand and left hand man.
Yeah.
They come out and then they're like, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. We don't got to call the police. Fuck the police. That kind of stuff. Billy Crystal gives him the card. And then we set up the plot on that. gives him the card. And
he,
then,
yes. Yeah. And he tells him what he does and stuff like that. But there's also a lot of really funny sight gags where the guy's kicking in the background and he's like duct taping the trunk together.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, but your trunk's falling apart there. No, it's like that. Yeah. He's taping it together like, oh, and shit.
You use cheap gas and it just rattles around.
As there's clearly a guy being like, help.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty funny. It was pretty good bit.
Good bit. Yeah. It was a funny movie.
Yeah.
It's a funny movie over here. Exactly. We got a real funny fucking movie.
Hey, we got a funny movie over here.
Yeah, this movie thinks it's real fucking funny with its jokes over here. Better watch itself.
I do like that improv Billy Crystal scene at the end. It's just like if you want to write mobster dialogue.
Yeah.
If you were making, what's the fucking, the Gotti movie with...
With Travolta?
With Travolta. Yeah. Or maybe Capone with... Good old Tom Hardy.
Hardy just refuses to speak normal in a movie. So as long as the character speaks in some weird way.
He's like, I don't know, guys. But
Capone talks like this somehow. They're like, yeah, okay, I'm in. I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's even the same thing in Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're a Jewish jeweler. He's like, I'm not about it. All right. You're going to be like a super, super Jewish sounding guy. All right, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just has to sound weird.
Yeah, that's his whole thing.
Yep.
For a while, Samuel Jackson just needed different haircuts. He just needed like one movie, that one movie had silver hair for some reason.
That's right, Yeah. He had a soul patch or in a movie.
Like different hair, facial
different,
hair.
Too. Yeah, different face configurations.
Of hair, yeah. They would just take that weird Etch-a-Sketch fake thing where you just use the magnet thing. Yeah, yeah. And they would just
move
like,
the hair follicles around. Yeah.
This is what I want. They would just throw it up in the air and then be like, Samuel Jackson, what do you think of this? He's like,
I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah, sure. All right, I got sideburns in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Do you want to play this cop in this movie? He's like, I played a lot of cops. He's like, what if we do this to your sideburns?
He's like, now we're talking. Now,
all right. Yeah. I got a whole new take on this.
Yeah.
I'm going to yell a lot and call people motherfucker. Yeah.
And make 400 movies in between 1990 and 2001.
That's true. He's a great actor.
Yeah, yeah, great actor. Also, Robert De Niro, great run in the 90s.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, so you think about Bobby D, and you think of him as like, oh, he had this, you know, he was a old school guy, right? You know, Godfather. Taxi Driver, and even Goodfellas, even though it's a 90s movie. You don't necessarily, you think about it, so it's an old classic, right?
Yeah. But Deer Hunter.
Really? You know. A Deer Hunter. Yeah, Deer Hunter's fucking great. When you think about his 90s, though, it is Goodfellas. It is Casino. It's this movie, which is quite good.
Yeah.
And very funny. It's Heat.
Ronin.
Fucking badass Ronin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heat and Casino the same year. And then this movie, was it Ronin come out the same year as Copland, right?
Yeah, and Copland. He's also
Copland's
Copland,
fucking great.
Yeah, his 90s run is really good.
Jackie Brown? Brown and Copland. Those were the same year.
Yeah, there you go. Jackie Brown and Copland, yeah. And Jackie Brown was the one where he was like not playing to type anymore.
Right.
And which he's fucking great.
And he's really, such a bizarre non-De Niro role, but he's fantastic.
Yeah. He's just kind
of
like.
Actually, speaking of great Sam Jackson, Sam Jackson's fucking rules in that movie.
Again, there were like, Quentin Tarantino's like, look, I want to make you the main guy, but we're going to have to give you a weird fucking face hair thing.
That's
true. And he's like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. That's a soul patch, Sam Jackson, right?
Yeah, that little braid that he had.
Oh, that's right. It's the braid, not the soul patch.
That little chin braid.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Ardell. Yeah, see, that's all you needed. But no, Robert De Niro's fucking run through the 90s is pretty untouchable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
And his really good shit from the 70s and 80s, also pretty untouchable.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not as condensed.
He's a legend for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then this movie happens, and it's really funny, and everyone's like, De Niro can do comedy.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, he does Meet the Parents,
and you're like, De Niro can do comedy. And then he does, like, Dirty Grandpa, and you're like, he does the Meet the Parents sequels, and you're like,
Like, how many fucking...
De Niro's doing fucking comedy?
Yeah, so many fucking goddamn...
The Little Fockers?
Yeah, oh, Jesus.
What if a tough CIA guy was mad about you having kids with his daughter? Yeah.
Grandpa.
Yeah. Then he did Dirty
Fox Grandma. Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, God damn it.
And then he does The Irishman, which unintentional comedy at some parts. But
yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
The Irishman is really good.
Yeah, it's actually, it's quite good.
Yeah, it's just you didn't need 88-year-old Robert De Niro.
Yeah, it's just that we could have talked about this. I get that you're trying to, like, you know, expand the technology and everything, and it's very admirable.
But we would have all been okay with a fucking stunt guy,
yeah,
doing that.
Well, killing even a guy's but scene, also you could
beating
just,
up a guy's scene.
Like, De Niro played a young Marlon Brando in Godfather 2. We were fine with it. They don't look anything you like, and we were like, yeah, that's Marlon Brando.
Sure, whatever. Why not? Yeah, exactly.
Fucking, it's fine.
We've been okay with that the whole time.
Yeah.
Nope. Scorsese is like, nobody can
play. No, we need $300 million so I can CGI their faces and it looks fucking god-awful half the time.
I want to invent new technology.
Yeah.
Also, to CGI his face to look 45.
Yeah.
Continuously through 20, the whole movie. Yeah. Which is funny. I do like the idea that Scorsese was just like, nah, I want him to look like what we accepted Ray Liotta in Goodfellas when he was like, he was supposed to be
18 or whatever. Because he's supposed to be like a teenager in those early scenes in Goodfellas.
Well, in the early scenes where they have the young guy, it's another guy.
That's true.
But there's a scene where he goes into the restaurant and the voiceover specifically like, I never thought anything of it. A 20-year-old kid, like a 21-year-old kid being so connected.
And it's like 37-year-old Ray Liotta. Yeah.
I like that Scorsese is like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I want Robert De Niro to play 20 but look 37.
Yeah, yeah. It's a callback to his own work. I mean, that's all Irishman is, so
yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah, all of it. To everybody's own work.
Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a psychotherapist.
Yeah, that's the premise of this movie.
Yeah.
This is the same year as Sopranos.
So that's weird, right?
Yeah, because Sopranos is all about him talking to a therapist.
Yes.
And it's him.
At least the early parts of Sopranos.
Yeah, and he's basically playing like a Godfather type of like character, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of the same guy. I mean, it's...
Also, again, a lot of the same actors. A
lot of the same actors because, you know...
Because you got that look, man. You got to run with look, it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a little person, you got to run with that.
You play fucking Willow. Like, that's what you do. Yeah.
Yeah. You show up for the fucking Lord of the Rings and the Willows.
And they don't cast you for Lord of the Rings. And you're like, how the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
The Come biggest on, guys. Movie. Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me?
They're like, no.
We got these other guys, and they're full size, but we're going to CGI that shit.
We're going to pretend like they're little size. Yeah. But no, you know, like it's Christmas time. You're a little person. You're gonna be an elf.
Like it's Santa elf, yeah.
You're going to be a Santa.
It's just like if you're a fat guy with a big beard.
You're going to be Santa.
Yeah, you're going to be a Santa.
You're an Italian dude with a fucking accent.
Yeah.
You're going to be a mobster. Yeah, so you're an Italian guy with an accent.
Yeah.
You're in The Sopranos. You're in this. And that's actually every Italian actor at the time.
Yep.
At least in one of these two.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
Well, like you said, they're all pulling for the Scorsese, like, rule, like, fucking casting calls.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, oh, that guy in Goodfellas, that guy in Heat, that guy in Casino, that guy... Yeah, we're getting those guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
But even before this movie, Gross Point Blank had that great, because he was a hitman in it.
Right.
And he's Gross
Point Blank, great movie.
Yeah, he's got Alan Arkin is his therapist, and he has
he keeps some calling
very
him
funny yeah. stuff in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That very also, subtly.
Also, Mimi Driver.
Yeah, yeah, Prime Mimi Driver. Oh, yeah. Oh, what happened to her?
And what did happen to Mimi Driver, actually?
TV, probably. She's probably on television.
She had a nice run, though.
She did.
She was, you know, Good Will Hunting, Gross Point Blank.
That's it?
Princess Mononoke.
Oh, yeah. She did voices.
Yeah.
She was the girl.
Actually, she was in a Disney movie, too, wasn't she? Wasn't she like Jane and Tarzan?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what she's doing, is still just voice work.
Just voice work, probably. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, more than likely.
Sopranos comes out with very much the same premise, only Sopranos is like a depressing drama.
Yeah.
And this is like a wacky comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's funny that they both. I guess it's
within
like,
2 months.
I guess it's like at the time where the machismo thing was getting like, that was, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, it was probably a lot of people
were breaking
that had grown
down
up
that.
On that shit.
Yeah.
And it was like time to kind of like turn it on its head.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about therapy and stuff like that. And, you know, we've talked about this before. My problem with 90s sitcoms is that everybody's a fucking pussy in those sitcoms. And also, not only that, but like these rich white people that I could not associate with. In the 90s. It was like Seinfeld and Friends.
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean? And stuff like that. And I was just like, oh, these are rich white people with rich white people problems. But it also...
Let me introduce you to a little show called Roseanne.
Yeah, no, that's why I love Roseanne.
Yeah, or Married with Children, for that matter.
That's early 80s, but like 90s.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Married with Children is firmly in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's like later in the 90s, it was like...
That's true.
Seinfeld,
Friends, Frasier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like,
even Home Improvement. The guy has his own TV show.
Yeah, yeah. They're all like well-to-do, and it's all of a lot about your like being sensitive and stuff like that.
That's true.
Even you know, like Seinfeld, there was a point that he was like, he's kind of obsessive compulsive, neat, super neat, and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's part of the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But this comes from that, I think. This is like at the time when you're like,
was a time where I think for the first time, at least in popular. Not even popular culture, but like just it was no longer as taboo. Because I feel like before the 90s, it was like the idea of going to a shrink.
Yes.
Was very much like a what? What's wrong with that guy? Like it was like a you're fucked up.
Yeah.
Like irredeemable, belong in a loony bin kind of fucked up.
Exactly. And that's kind of one of the jokes in this is, all right, so Robert De Niro, they go to Billy Crystal's office.
Right.
And he goes and he kind of like tells him, he's like, I'm here.
I got this friend.
I got this friend. And
obviously.
This friend that can't, like, he's having a hard time. They thought he had a heart attack. And, but he had a panic attack. And and then when they tell him he had a panic attack, he's like, I don't panic. What the fuck are you talking about? I don't panic.
And they beat up a young Asif Mandi.
Yeah. Right? Who plays his doctor. Yeah. Billy Crystal's not about it. But Robert De Niro tells him that great line where he's like, all right, you know.
Because Robert De Niro is famous. We should say that.
Oh, like, yeah.
When he shows up.
Because he's playing John Gotti.
Yeah, exactly. But so when he shows up, you know, he's like, you know who I am? And Billy Crystal's like, yes. He's like, no, you don't.
Yeah. He tells him, like, if you turn me into a fag.
Very 90s joke.
I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was very funny.
It still plays. Because again, the joke isn't. Gay people are bad. It's no, that this guy's a fucking
so
yeah, exactly. Yeah. This guy thinks that a guy talking to him will turn him gay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is very funny.
Yes,
and that this is where they fit in like 10 of those Robert De Niro making that, like, a comment.
You,
and Billy Crystal being like, what?
And he's like, you're good.
Yeah. So they feel a lot of that in there.
Yeah.
But it does have a lot of that. How that hilarious
very machismo
is it?
Shit. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So he kind of like pussyfoots around it and then goes back down to fucking Miami to, and this is where we meet,
Lisa Kudrow. Of Friends, as you were saying.
Of Friends, yeah.
Yeah.
Of the big sitcom at the
big
time.
The big sitcom that, you know.
Yeah. You're 15 years younger than Billy Crystal.
Yeah. 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 Which, again, second marriage. That sounds about right.
Makes sense. Yeah. She's a reporter.
He's a successful guy.
Yeah.
But again, if she was a New York reporter, okay.
Yeah. No, why did it have to be Miami?
Or if she was like a reporter that, if she was like a 60 Minutes reporter that did a bunch of stories on psychology or something, maybe?
Yeah. That would make more sense. But no connection whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't, how? How did they meet?
I do feel like.
How did they date?
It's purposely trying to do. Because
this was before internet dating. It's not like.
No, this was You Got Mail time.
No.
You Got Mail was in the late 90s as well.
I thought that was like 2003.
You Got Mail?
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I have never seen You Got Mail.
You never seen You Got Mail. Well, no, but he says, what am I supposed to do? Set up a website? So, you know,
No, I remember 1999.
Yeah.
I had an internet presence.
Yeah, back then. You were already 35
I was already 35 at the time.
Yeah.
I was Weed Lord Vegeta 2020.
Yeah, exactly. Look it up.
Still my handle.
I had a point to this.
Your point was, what the fuck is he doing with Lisa Kudrow in Miami?
No, okay. So that was my point. My point is, they went out of their way to do What About Bob? And this is a thing that I was talking about, that it was like Billy Crystal just turned into Richard Dreyfuss.
Yes.
In the 90s.
Yes.
And he 100% did that.
First of all, Billy Crystal, the weirdest fucking career maybe ever.
Talking about My Giant specifically?
Well, yes. I'm talking about My Giant, where he made a film with a like 7'3", like Croatian guy or some shit.
That they knew was going to die.
They definitely knew was going to die.
Like, they were like, he's got 14 months. We got to shoot a movie before he dies.
Right away.
He died like 14 months after.
Yeah, he died very quickly.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be like 7'6".
No, and twisted up like that.
Yeah.
Like he didn't stand up like fucking Andre the Giant. He was like twisted up crazy.
He was a twisted guy.
Yeah. No, but Billy Crystal's career.
No, Billy Crystal's career is very weird because, you know, he's a funny guy, but he's not really a stand-up.
No, he's not.
But he does tell stories. He's a funny guy. He does stage work. He does all those things with Robin Williams and Whoopi Goldberg back in the day where they raised money for, I don't even remember what they raised money for. I was just laughing at all the chuckles.
Yeah, exactly. You were just chuckling it up,
not giving any money because I was 3 years old.
Yeah.
But laughing also, a lot.
I will not donate money.
I will not donate money because no one else deserves it more than I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Personally. So
I'll donate it to my beer fund.
That's true. But he does the funny stuff. And in the 80s, he's like a leading man. He's like a romantic lead. We talked about When Harry Met Sally.
Well, the 80s were also kind of like the...
He's riding like the Woody Allen train almost, where he's a nebbish... And the Seinfeld thing kind of jumps on that too, where it's like way too in his own head about everything and kind of too smart for his own good kind of guy.
But he does become a leading man, and we talked about it already. The 80s were also the little guy times, right? Where it was
there was the little guy and the big guy. It was the best of times and the worst of times.
Yeah.
It was the Schwarzenegger and the Billy Crystals.
Exactly. The fucking Tom Cruise.
Nothing in between.
Yeah.
You were either Tom Cruise, Billy Crystal, or Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox, yeah, exactly.
All 3'7", 75
Emilio Estevez.
Exactly. Emilio Estevez, good example. Or you were Arnold Schwarzenegger and you could choke an elephant with your pinky.
Yeah, with your giant bunches of bananas that you call hands.
You could destroy a bear in hand-to-hand combat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get one or the other. Yeah, exactly.
Nothing in between. There was no 5'11" guy.
No.
That guy did not exist.
No, or if he did, we all pretend like he did. It was like fucking Stallone. I mean, Stallone's actually 5'10"?
He is 5'10", but Stallone also is a fucking 0% body fat.
Yeah, exactly. Insane person. Like I said, they put him on Apple boxes.
That's true.
So that we could just pretend like he was 6 foot tall.
That's right. And in every Rocky movie, 6 foot, 220 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you're right. Billy Crystal kind of sneaks in that.
Yes.
So then by the time he gets to this, he just turns into Richard Dreyfuss.
That's right. So the 90s is his Richard Dreyfuss era.
Yeah.
Where he's now he's older, but he's not old. So he can still play your leading man, sort of, but he can't quite carry a movie.
He's not a charismatic picking up chicks leading man.
Yeah.
He's an
everyday guy. Yeah. He's
a family guy.
He's a family.
I do wanted to mention, there's some really
he's
good.
He's got a talking dog.
Yeah,
callbacks
exactly.
to that time.
There's
the
a whole song
happened.
About it. Again, back in 1999.
That was exactly the time.
That's the time for Family Guy.
That was the time when Family Guy was good.
Yep. Yeah. There's some good bits with...
I was young. One of the two happened.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Lisa Kudrow and his son, who also his son is as big as he is.
Yes, his son, I do
He's
wonder,
a big, chubby dude.
He's
but
a big,
he's
chubby dude.
He's tall.
Yeah. I do wonder, what did Billy Crystal's first wife look like?
I know, right? They never show it. Yeah, you're right. I wonder.
His son, is twice Billy Crystal's, mass, at least.
Yeah.
He is Billy Crystal's height and twice his mass.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But they do a lot of funny. The kid has some good lines.
The kid has some good lines.
Yeah, where they're
pretending to have fun.
They're at SeaWorld. And he's like, oh, we're all having fun. He's like, no, I'm just actually pretending because we're supposed to be bonding over here. And then Billy Crystal's like, I'm going to go get some food. You guys keep pretending to have fun. That's what happens.
Movie.
What happens is he goes and meets her. They're staying at a hotel because they're supposed to get married. And then who shows up? One of Bobby De Niro's henchmen guys.
Yeah.
And takes him out because Robert De Niro can't stop crying.
Yeah. Well, and he couldn't get it up.
He couldn't get it up. That's what
he
it was.
He could not get it up last night with his,
which
not
is,
with his wife, but with his girlfriend.
Number one.
Which is a very Sopranos thing, too.
Yeah. She kisses my kids with that mouth. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's good.
Great
it's a
line.
Good line.
Yeah.
Number one reason to go see a therapist, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you're a guy, right?
Sure.
You can't get it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does tell him, there's
pills.
I mean,
crying uncontrollable, I would see that, too.
No, that's what you drink.
Oh, yeah. Good point. I mean, that just makes you cry more, though.
Or that's what you beat something.
Ah, now you're talking my language.
Yeah, exactly. Now that's why you beat your kids or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, why else do you have kids?
Yeah, you were in the war for crying out loud.
That's right.
Cry? There's no crying. Yeah, no, number one reason, can't get it up anymore. Because you could be a drunk dad, but, you get drunk enough, you get it up again. You rape your wife, you have another kid. That's how it works.
That's how it works.
That's how the 1950s worked.
Yes.
That's all you fucking boomers. That's where you came from. Your dad got drunk on scotch from the fucking PTSD that he couldn't handle from WW2.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds right.
Raped your mom.
They called it shell shock back then, but same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Raped your mom one night, and then you were born 9 months later. And then your dad just beat a dog to death every now and then. Just so he didn't have to cry uncontrollably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's those.
I mean, that's the way America has done. And, you know, who are you to say America's bad? Fuck you. Get the hell out.
Yeah, that's the American.
These colors don't bleed.
That's what we're trying to make great again.
Yeah, exactly.
We're trying to go back to the dad raping mom and beating a dog to death every couple of weeks.
Look, just if to that make dog it through. Didn't want to be beat to death, it should not have been born.
Yeah, exactly. It shouldn't come around, it shouldn't come around a fucking veteran.
Begging for scraps. When it knows I don't like it to beg under the table.
Yeah, exactly. When your dad's just sitting there doing that thing where it's like the lights behind him and he's just smoking a cigarette and you can't really see his face. And you just wonder if he's still a man or just a demon wrapped in human flesh that came back from WW2.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's now raising you and, you know, doing some horrible shit sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a dog's fault.
Dog's fault. So I do want to talk about the writers of this movie. We talked about Harold Ramis, of course.
Yeah.
Great actor, great comedian, great director. Great director,
yeah.
We talked about him in Stripes. We talked about, we haven't talked about, Groundhog's Day yet, but we will.
Yeah. We hopefully,
Ghostbusters, all that, obviously. Yeah. But the writers of this movie, so he's one of the writers, one of the credited writers, at least.
Well, there's like eight.
There's three.
Oh, yeah.
There's three credited writers. So he's one of them. So he probably like threw in some improv or threw in some lines or whatever. Cause he's a funny guy.
And he's a director.
He's a director. He's a funny guy. But the other two guys. So the first guy that is credited, that's Peter Tolan. Peter Tolan, you look at his IMDb, you're like, yeah, that sounds about right. He's the creator of Rescue Me, Dennis Leary's comedy.
Firefighter drama.
Funny stuff and serious. Larry Sanders Show.
Oh, yeah.
Larry Sanders Show guy. Did a bunch of other kind of comedic movies. Worked with some Jim Gaffigan at times. Did America's Sweetheart. All this kind of, you know, lighthearted stuff. Did Guess Who. Yeah, not great, but Bedazzled.
You're talking about Bedazzled remake? The Bernie Mac?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guess Who?
Ha. Bedazzled remake, though. Pretty funny.
Remember when they were like, you know, let's talk about racial tensions here. What if a young black man goes to have dinner with a white family?
Sure, sure.
In like the 60s where racial tensions are at peak.
Sure, yeah.
And then in the 90s or in the early 2000s.
Early 2000s, yeah.
Early 2000s, they're like, we should remake that movie. Uh-huh. But let's get rid of all the racial tension stuff and just make it a white dude.
True.
Into a black family.
Right. I mean, there was still the racial tension there.
But it's just in a like, I don't know, he can ride a bike and they can't. Or like weird, like swimming. Weird. like really weird kind of condescending racial tension.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Now
I feel like that movie actually could have racial tension again.
Yeah.
Back then, everyone seemed kind of cool back then. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just the ignorance of my life at that point. But
yeah, you're like your fucking 20s. You're just drunk the whole time.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah. Drunk and smashing.
At that point, I was just drunk and happy. Everyone was my friend. Black, white, Mexican. Exactly. It didn't matter. But the other writer of this movie, Kenneth Lonergan, his IMDb, on the other hand, makes a little less sense.
Yeah.
Because his first credit is for two episodes of Doug.
Hell yeah, Doug. I hope it's the one with the beats.
Yeah, so he does that band. He does two episodes of Doug.
Was it a Quail Man episode?
I don't know.
I hope so.
And then he makes a movie called You Can Count on Me. Or I'm sorry, before that, actually, he does this movie. So he goes from two episodes of Doug to a giant blockbuster with two of the biggest stars of the time, two A-listers. Weird.
Yeah.
Then he does a movie called You Can Count on Me. Then he does The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Well, Robert De Niro was in that, too. He was, and Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal. So maybe they just brought him along.
Maybe. Just comes in.
Is
there.
He Robert De Niro's nephew?
He could be. He could be. But here's the next thing he does. I mean, I guess this could also be a De Niro connection because, you know, Scorsese, he's a guy.
Yeah.
Gangs of New York.
Yeah, he helps co-write Gangs of New York. Maybe he's the guy that just like injects the comedy into the comedy. Yeah, you know, remember the hilarious yucks
in that
movie?
What if you stab the shit out of his dad while he watches? That'll be fucking hilarious.
You remember how funny some of that stuff in that movie was? Maybe that's what he's putting in there. Yeah.
I got this really funny character. Carmen Diaz is going to be a fucking whore.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Hilarious. Actually, the movie has some really good funny stuff in it, but in the way that Goodfellas
has. The way that all the Scorsese stuff has some funny stuff. Yeah.
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 But what a weird jump to go from, he does like Doug and then 4 years later, he's doing Gangs of New York, nominated for Best Picture.
And then, recently, Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, which is, I would say, the least Doug-like movie.
Yeah, if you had Doug on one
you
end,
could write. Yeah,
and Manchester
exactly.
on the Sea on the other, there would be a gulf between wide enough to fill the ocean.
Yeah, there's no Skeeter Valentine.
Or the sea where your family has died.
Yeah.
And it makes you very sad.
Yeah. I do. I do think it's kind of cool to live in a place where if you died, they had to wait till the ground thaws to bury you.
You
just got to keep you in a refrigerator.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. You just get to stay around longer.
Frozen solid. I don't think you're around, but yeah.
Yeah. You're just frozen solid in the refrigerator.
I suppose that's a more of ideological question of whether or not you're around at that point. But yes.
Yeah. Sure. Whatever. I'm in heaven. I don't care.
Do you want to just stuff yourself and put you? We can taxidermy your ass.
Ah, oh, that'd be so awesome. You can't. Legally, you can't taxidermy.
I mean, legally. Yeah, we just watched a movie about fucking mobsters. They do whatever the fuck they want.
That's true. That's fair.
And they how I live my life.
By the end, they do whatever they want.
Yeah.
So there's
by the end, they go to jail.
Yeah, actually, you're right. there's a lot of Robert De Niro harassing Billy Crystal.
Right.
Going back to the plot.
Then, like, the whole second act is basically Billy Crystal's trying to get married. Do his thing, and then either Robert De Niro or one of his guys shows up and is like, "You gotta come with us."
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to do that. You don't have a choice.
Sorry.
Bada bing, bada bang. Yeah. Yeah.
So then the FBI gets wind.
Forget about it.
So then they get Billy Crystal to wear a wire.
Right.
Robert De Niro
Which
finds
they only
right
convince
away.
Him to do after playing him a doctored tape. Because really, the real bad guys, FBI,
obviously. Yeah. Also, they're the real bad guys for 15 minutes of this movie, and then they're gone.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Then back to Chaz Palminteri is the real bad guy.
That's right.
He's set up as a bad guy in the beginning, then the FBI is a bad guy, then he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
But
when you first meet him, you're not sure what he is.
He's like a fucking... I thought he was like a stockbroker.
Yeah.
He's got like an office on a skyrise.
Yeah.
Like, he's not like...
I thought the first time he was the FBI.
He looks like a detective guy.
Yeah.
No, but he's
like... I was like, how's this FBI guy getting like a custom fit in his office? That's weird.
In this weird, very modern office.
Yeah,
like
for stockbrokers.
Fucking Wall Street office. Yeah. But no, the FBI recruits him. Then everybody knows everything in this fucking movie. So all this like tension that gets built up is just because they say it.
Right.
It's like, he's going to rat him out. So he puts the wire on and then they're like, we saw him go into the thing with the FBI.
Yeah.
So then they know right away that he talked to the FBI.
Right.
It's the same thing when they're like watching him. He's talking to Billy Crystal. And not only is the FBI watching him and taking pictures,
but Chaz's guy
is watching him and taking pictures. And Robert De Niro is like, they're watching us and taking pictures.
Yep.
So everybody knows everything all the fucking time. Yeah. But the tension is just because they say they're sentient.
Like, how would they ever get to my guy, Billy Crystal? I've only been seen with him in public multiple times.
By all of my enemies.
By all of my enemies, yeah. Yes.
Each one of my enemies has seen it.
Has seen me with this guy, who I know is just a regular fucking pushover dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, how will they ever get to him?
How will they ever get to him? They wouldn't dare.
No. So then they have this scene where Robert De Niro is going to kill him.
Right.
They take him away.
Because he was wearing a wire, blah, blah, blah.
He takes it off in the toilet in a very funny poop scene.
Poop joke, yeah.
Poop joke scene because he keeps taking the wire off.
I guess this was after Austin Powers, right?
Yeah. It's still pretty good. Still pretty solid, yeah. Austin Powers had a fight in it. This one has just him pulling the wire off.
Yeah.
But then they take him. It does have some pretty good lines from Billy Crystal in it, actually. There's a part where his right hand guy is like, nothing personal. And Billy Crystal's like, this is the most personal thing.
Yeah.
Actually, the most personal thing. That's some good lines from it.
No, it's a funny movie.
Yeah. And this is after they take him to the restaurant where he finds out that Robert De Niro's
dad died.
That's
the restaurant where his dad died.
After Robert De Niro told him that his dad died of a heart attack.
Right.
So there's a big deal. Yeah, he got murdered. Yeah. So then,
so right before De Niro can pull the trigger, he's like, all right, well, just one last question, though.
Yeah, what was your dad eating?
What was your dad eating that night?
And he's like, I don't know. And what were you eating? And then he starts remembering about that night.
And then you saw the waiter, and he wasn't wearing the right pants, so you knew, but you didn't say anything because you were mad at your dad.
You hated him, and maybe you feel responsible. And now you feel
responsible. He's like, I should have said that. I could have saved his life. Yeah.
And then Chaz has dudes show up. And
then De Niro does the thing that what he always does when he cries, which is not cry.
We got to talk about this. Oh, my God. Robert De Niro crying?
I mean, look, De Niro, no one's saying De Niro's not a great actor. We know he's one of the probably 10 greatest actors
of all time. Yeah. But it was a thing like John Wayne, where he just cannot cry.
Yeah, physically incapable.
Yeah, he just mushes his face up, and then he makes that...
He makes a cry face.
He makes like Colin Quinn's face playing Robert De Niro. Is what he does. Like this exaggerated cry face. Yeah. But never has a tear come out of his fucking face.
Yeah. It's wild because everything on your face, on his face, everything in his performance, his voice is like, oh, he is crying. But then you look at it a second time and you're like, no, he isn't.
No, he's definitely not crying.
Yeah. There's not a single tear in his eye at any point.
He's just like closing his eyes as hard as he can, and that's it. Yeah.
He's just like creating incapable. 20 wrinkles in his face that did not previously exist.
Yeah.
But no tears.
He's like, we need you to cry. And he's like, I can't. I don't know if you understand.
I can somehow, like through some sort of Cthulian geometry, make my face into 100 wrinkles.
Yeah,
but I cannot shed a tear.
But not a single tear. Yeah, exactly. I cannot. Not one.
Yeah.
No, it's really funny, and that's the extent of the crying that we get from Robert De Niro in this scene.
Yep.
But then he's like, now he's just a blob of a man because he's dealing with his father.
So at the same time, Chaz's guys show up, shoot up the Jack, truck, who is not handsome.
No, not at all. That's a joke.
This is a joke. Yeah.
They shoot up the car. They're actually supposed to be really good at killing people, but they're really bad at it.
Which obviously. I think is pretty true to most Italian mobsters.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not special forces. They are not.
No.
That's why when you hear about mob hits back in the 40s, it's like 300 bullets were fired.
Yeah.
Two people were killed. One was injured.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, what happened to those other fucking 298 bullets?
Yeah, no, they're just spraying with a fucking Tommy
exactly.
gun. Or somebody was getting a shave.
Yeah.
And then they came up and shot him in the back of the head.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Or eating dinner. That's why so many are fucking eating dinner, they're eating dinner because...
Well, you had an interesting story about this movie.
Yeah, in the trivia it said that every indoor... restaurant scene happened in a restaurant where there was a mob hit.
Yeah.
So, and except for one where the mob hit happened outside, but it's still at a mob hit restaurant.
And I even, the restaurant where his dad died, where they go to when they show the outside, I was like, is that the fucking restaurant from The Irishman?
Yeah, it's gotta be.
It looks a lot like that fucking restaurant.
Yeah, so that's cool. That's a cool thing that Harold Ramis
came up. Yeah, they didn't need to do that.
No, that was a good little, that was a good little throwback.
Yeah.
So then Billy Crystal's like, all right, we're done now. But you're going to feel shitty for a couple of weeks.
But you'll get through it.
But you'll get through it. And, you know, good job.
Anyways, I'm going to go get married. Finally. All this is done. I'm going to the third act. I'm getting married. I'm done.
Yeah. He gets married and hiding in a plant.
As he's about to say, I do.
Nobody had seen this 350-pound fucking Italian guy hiding in the plant. But he's hiding in the plant. So he comes out in the middle of the wedding, and then by this time, Lisa Kudrow's like, fine, go, get the fuck out of here, like, go. And I thought it was going to be like, oh, he finally ruined his life. Lisa Kudrow's leaving him. Now we're going to have to deal with
that'd been interesting.
Billy Crystal dealing with some real-life repercussions about this. Nope, none of that. It's all jokes.
Yeah, no, it's just jokes.
Jokes and yucks.
No, he's going to be fine.
And what it is they're going to have this big meeting with all the mobsters.
As they've set up, the big meeting's coming up, however... Robert De Niro just saw a commercial about a dad and his son.
So he's been crying his eyes out.
Yeah, he's just a blob of nothing.
Yeah, we also see, for the first time, we see Robert De Niro's son.
That's right.
Which, you know, we
heard. Very young.
Yeah, very young.
For Robert De Niro being like 53 years old.
Yeah, he's like a fucking...
He has like an 8-year-old son.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But for some reason, they think that it's a good idea for Billy Crystal to represent him.
Right. Terrible idea.
Terrible idea. Although he does say that...
a great idea for comedy.
Exactly.
You almost think like Jelly and the other guy are just sitting around and being like, All right, so we need someone to stand in for the boss. I could do it. Maybe you could do it. Maybe we could get his nephew.
Well, he specifically says he's a fuck-up.
He's an idiot, yeah. But they're thinking about it, and they're like, well, I mean, we know how things work, though, so it wouldn't be that funny. What if we get that guy that doesn't know anything? That'd be fucking hilarious.
That'd be a good bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I was picking a guy, I would go
bit.
With the funnier guy.
You pick the bit. You always pick the bit.
So, yeah, that's exactly what he does. And then Billy Crystal has to pull this Italian stereotype out of his butt.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, hey, well, actually, it's actually not that ridiculous because he uses that psychology against Chess.
That's true.
Commentary.
I mean, that's where it comes together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it starts with him just kind of copying everyone, be like, hey, oh, hey, yeah, looking good, kissing cheeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he does, you know, do a little bit of the cliche shit. But then he's like, I don't know. How do you feel? Like, why do you think you want to kill me?
Yeah, like, yeah. Chess is like, I should just shoot this guy. And he's like, why are you so aggressive? Why do you think you want to kill me? Yeah. And he uses psychology again.
Like, why are we talking about me? Oh, you don't think you're important enough to be talked about? What does that say about you?
The weapon of psychiatry. He uses the weapon of psychiatry against
him. Yeah, he does.
A seldom used in
a
movies.
A sharp weapon that it is.
Yeah. He seldomly used in movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Very rarely do you use... I mean, you use reverse psychology, use guns. I guess. Yeah, usually it's guns.
Or fists.
Or
fists.
Swords.
Fists are very popular. Swords.
Swords and knives.
Knives,
yeah.
Knives.
Yeah. That's how we've been solving problems
flying
for the last...
Knees.
Last 4,000 years.
I mean, it turns out when a guy gives you a bunch of mumbo jumbo psycho talk, you can just punch him.
Yeah. Or shoot him.
Shoot him.
Or shoot at him even.
Yeah.
That's good enough. Yeah. You don't have to deal with your feelings.
No, no.
What are you, a lady?
What are you, a lady? That's actually, I think De Niro has that same joke where he's like.
He has that exact same joke.
It's like, strap a pair of tits on me and I'm just a lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was crying because I saw the commercial. Strap a pair of tits on me and I'm a lady. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that's the exact joke.
That's the joke.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Robert De Niro, out of nowhere.
He shows up. He's fine. Well, he had a talk with his son.
Yeah.
And so by connecting with his son and realizing the circle of life, you know, goes on and on, it's helped him come to terms with his own father.
I feel like, realistically, if he's that burnt out, like if he's that worn out by the whole thing with his father, and he sees his son, he's like, son, please, for the love of God, remember my face. And then it just makes everything worse, like a lot worse. But instead, he's like, nope, I'm a man again now.
I got a son to take care of, God damn it.
Yeah, now I got to show up to these mobsters and really give them the business.
So the business is, sit down.
Yeah.
All right. I'm leaving anyways.
Everybody sit down.
I'm out.
Well, he drops a dime. This is a thing where it gets set up that we don't know who killed his best friend, right?
That's true, right?
And he's got like it's like his cousin? Or I don't know who the fuck that dude is, but it never gets established, revealed, set up, but somehow now he knows.
People know stuff.
He knows that that guy dropped a dime on them, betrayed him.
Look, you're saying I don't know? I know. I know things, all right?
Again, never gets paid off. Or it gets paid off without any setup.
It gets paid off without a setup.
Without a setup, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff with Billy Crystal that is set up with no payoff. With De Niro, it's the opposite.
The opposite, exactly. Because we need the yucks.
We got two characters. One can do setup, one can do payoff. We don't need anything in between. That's fine.
We have a setup and we got a payoff. What more do you want, audience?
So what if they're not the same?
What are you fucking complaining about? Come on. You got De Niro and Crystal up there.
Yeah.
What are you...
They're doing funny bits.
What are you crying about?
Look at them.
Yeah. He he's like, oh, he's the one that killed him. I'm not going to kill you, even though I should, because, you know, I'm past that now. Like, I'm
an adjusted person.
I'm an adjusted person now. And also, I'm going to quit the business because it's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know a lot of stuff about you guys, but I wrote it down and put it in a safe. So if anything ever happens to me or my friend.
Right, right.
Yeah. Because that's how you get out of the mob.
Yeah. And very easy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very easy. Then they're like, yeah, all right, go with God.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I feel like they would just torture him for many, many hours.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and then kill him.
Yep.
And then, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you would do as a mobster. You'd beat him to death with bats.
Yeah, yeah.
And put him in a hole and that's
it. In Las Vegas, yeah.
But instead they're like, no, you're good.
No. You're good, yeah.
Except for Chaz.
Chaz and the nephew that I guess was the betrayer.
Yeah.
Again, not set up at all.
No.
They show up with guns. But then De Niro has more guns.
Yeah, he's got like other guys that we hadn't seen before with casino style names.
Yes.
Like Momo.
Very fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do like also there's the whole bit when they're at the meeting where Chaz Vomitary is introducing himself and he's like, you may know me as Billy Bobo.
Yeah, yeah.
Or as Jelly the Gen Gen or Millie Mike Mike. And
he yeah, has he's like got like 18 names. Nicknames. Yeah. That was pretty good.
That was good. That was a very good funny bit. Joke. Yeah.
It's that great Goodfellas walking into the bar.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
like
yeah.
Mickey Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
Now, Freddy No-Nos.
Yeah. It's good shit.
Yep.
Man, why mobsters have the best nicknames.
Mobsters, and actually, I saw a thing, somebody made a meme, and it was like, Mexicans will take your biggest insecurity and make your nickname out of it. Growing up, my nickname was Gordo, because, you know, I was fat.
Yeah, of course.
But people posted...
I mean, that just seems really mean, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's not even a nickname. That's just straight up calling you fat.
That's what you would do. You would just take whatever is funniest about you. And then make that your nickname.
See, I would say like calling someone an insecurity would be like someone that's maybe like 5 pounds overweight. You call him Gordo.
No, you call the fat kid.
Yeah, you call the fat kid Gordo. That's
well, people posted like their nicknames that they had or that friend that people they knew they had, and they were very funny. One of them was like Caesar No Teeth.
Oh, vicious,
yeah.
Vicious.
Yeah, yeah, like a kid had no teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, like stuff like that. Like, we, you know, nicknames are really good until they're really mean.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
But
Chad, I mean, Handsome Jack again, they're just making fun of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Just making fun of that guy. He's not a handsome guy.
That's not funny.
He's not a handsome guy at all.
Look at this guy. Look at this fucking guy's face.
Motherfucker.
Look at this guy. Handsome, I'm going to call you. Jack. I'm going to call you Handsome Jack.
Well, look, I know I'm not the best looking. No, you're Handsome Jack over here. That's what we're calling you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Chaz pulls guns on him.
Yeah.
They shoot
they
at him.
They pull bigger guns. A gunfight starts to break out, but then every FBI agent. Oh, yeah. Billy Crystal takes a bullet for him.
Takes a bullet for Bobby D.
Bobby D, yeah.
The FBI shows up and arrests everybody.
Except for some reason, they don't arrest Billy Crystal. They're just like, ah, you're good.
Yeah, you were a part of this whole thing. And then you also were supposed to like be wearing a wire, and then you went AWOL.
You went AWOL. You also got gifts from this guy, and you showed up at this like huge mafia meeting.
Yeah.
You're good.
You're probably part of it, but yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah, you're not Italian enough to be arrested in this.
Bobby D gets 18 months.
Yeah. Which is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
18 months. I feel like...
They had nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got nothing.
Hey, oh, they got nothing. What's a mob? I don't even know what a mob is. What are you talking about here?
You got me at a location. That's it. I was there. Okay.
This is my gentleman's club.
I showed up. Yeah. What are you going to do? I got invited to a place.
Hey, I was
just driving.
This is a private club, all right? We all got memberships around here.
Yeah. What are you, I just showed up, you know?
Yeah. we're Freemasons over here.
I'm a fucking Uber driver. I just showed up, pick up a guy. I don't know.
So, yeah, but he's in prison now. But
I wonder if you just use that constantly now. Now that like,
I use that now,
the internet. Okay, yeah,
yeah.
Well, where did those panties come from? I'm an Uber driver now. I don't know what you want from me, baby.
Yo, Uber driver.
Right? Oh.
Lipstick.
Panties show up sometimes.
I've never found panties, but to be fair, they have left a lot of lipsticks in my car when I was doing Uber. I don't do that shit no more, but. Yeah, like lipstick. One time they left a wallet in there. But yeah, just random little shit that, you know, I get in a lot of trouble for.
Sure.
If I'm married or something, then you just find a chick's lipstick in the backseat of my car. Yeah. Especially in the backseat of my car.
Not a shade I wear.
No, I don't know if you saw Parasite, but that's the way they got rid of that fucking driver.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the panties in the car. Specifically, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe I drive Uber. Maybe there's just panties in my car.
Maybe there's just panties in that car.
Yeah. Those are the bitches that get in the car.
I don't know.
But it's smart. It's smart. It's a smart way to cheat, I feel.
I don't know. Fucking Uber driver. What are you going to do? So he gets 18 months. Therapy continues. But they've both learned something.
I mean, Robert De Niro learned a lot.
I guess.
Billy Crystal, kind of.
Did he?
Not really.
I mean,
he was still a pushover. I mean, he still let him ruin the wedding.
The one moment that he has is dropped De Niro as a client, he goes back to his regular clientele.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like a couple in there, and the woman's complaining that, like, oh, he wants too much. He wants her to like call him like big boy and ride his Bronco.
It's actually really funny. It's like, and then put him in the barn wet, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then they just turn to that guy, and he has this like, very funny expression on his face.
Because Billy Crystal's like, just have sex and have fun and do whatever the hell you want to do and like get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's just like guy's face.
Great casting.
Yeah.
Great casting.
Like weird, overweight, 48-year-old, greasy face. It was actually really
just
good.
Just smiling in not really a creepy way, but just a really self-satisfied weirdo way. Yeah. Perfect.
But it's, again, it's the one failure in this movie. It's that Billy Crystal, we just get that he doesn't want to be bored anymore.
Right.
But really, it should be that it changed his life.
Or, changed his relationship with his father, like De Niro's.
Yeah, exactly.
Which it does not at all, because we never see his father again.
No.
After that scene that was like 10 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, they build up a lot, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, nope. After that, no, nothing. None of that.
It's really weird.
Because it's about De Niro.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
I really feel like that had to have been cut, right? That had to be in the original screenplay.
There had to have been a lot, some stuff. It was set up so strongly.
So strongly. It had to be in there.
But no, you get more Bobby D. You got more Bobby D for your bank. I guess
what I'm saying is we need to analyze this director's cut, release it this year, direct to theaters that are now open.
Because I want to know what happens to his father.
I got to know how he suffers or how he...
his relationship with his dad is so strange. How he heals
that relationship.
Yeah. They did. There was a sequel.
There was.
Analyze that.
Not appearing on this list, I don't believe.
No, I don't think it made as much money. Robert De Niro gets out of prison, and then I think Robert De Niro's now an informer. I don't remember what the movie's about. But I do know that nobody liked it nearly as much. Harold Ramis also did direct that one, too.
He did, yeah. I remember thinking it was okay.
Yeah. Which sounds correct. Yeah. It's like Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Yeah, it's
you're just like, okay. No, there's voodoo in here?
Yeah.
He's dancing now? What happened to just two cool guys having a good time tying a corpse to some levers and pulleys?
Yeah.
Yeah, and pretending that a rotting corpse is still alive.
And now it's 3 years old later, and that rotting corpse still...
I do have to give it to that movie for doing a lot of bits where they're just smushing him into a fucking carry-on. They're just like breaking his arms and putting him into a suitcase.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty funny.
Comedy sequels are hard.
Yeah.
Just don't do them, basically. No. Don't.
No, you don't. You don't get that that many really good ones.
Yeah. Like, none.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like a Naked Gun...
Naked Gun actually pretty good. Pretty good.
Two and a half.
Airplane 2 is still pretty good.
It's all right. Yeah.
It's not as good as the first one. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Gremlins 2 is pretty awesome.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
It's not as good as the first one again.
If there's any other ones out there, let us know.
Ghostbusters 2 we like.
I like Ghostbusters 2 a lot, actually.
It's still not as good. Back to the Future 2 is maybe the one, although that's
I would
not
say,
a strictly comedy.
Yeah. If I choose... I really like Austin Powers 2
It is
a lot.
Really good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like Anchorman 2. I think it's really funny. But
it's all right.
But that's me. Yeah. Yeah. And then, that's kind of it for me, at least.
Not a lot.
Yeah,
not a lot.
So anyway, that's the end of the movie.
Is it?
Yeah. But now we have to fix said movie. Well, I already said Richard Dreyfuss and Bill Murray.
And I already said Woody Allen and Marlon Brando.
Yeah, that's true. Can we throw Stallone in there somewhere?
Absolutely, Oscar? We can. Okay.
So now what if the mobster and Oscar?
And can Stallone be both characters?
Can
we get Stallone from Tango and Cash playing the Billy Crystal role?
Okay.
And then Stallone from Oscar.
Tango and Cash. He's just also a badass in both of them.
No, I don't know if you remember the beginning.
He wears glasses.
He wears glasses and he is a fucking nerd.
He's a nerd.
He invests in investments.
Yeah, exactly. He's got all the muscles and stuff, but still, glasses.
Glasses.
Nerd stuff.
Nerd shit. He has a tiny, tiny gun, not a big gun.
No, not at all.
Then we also get, we get Stallone from Oscar as the De Niro part.
As a Nero part, so it's just two Stallones, which is just our wet dream,
which is just
that
we've always wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
In all those, there was like so many movies in the 90s where people played like twins versions of themselves.
Yeah,
Jackie Chan did it. Jean-Claude Van Damme did it.
Lindsay Lohan
did it. Action star Lindsay Lohan.
International action star Lindsay Lohan did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan's boobs did it.
Yeah, that's right.
But
Halle Berry's boobs did it. Yeah. I guess that was 2000s.
That was 2000s.
Yeah.
Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen did it. They're the same person.
Agent Smith was like 400
of them. It was like 400 motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But Stallone. And still hasn't done it.
Do, yeah, so he should have done Stallone for that, for this. Yeah,
for this.
We still do it. He still do like old Stallone.
Yeah, old Stallone works.
Can we put the Rocky IV robot in there since he's taking him out?
Yeah, right. So Rocky IV is losing the robot, so we got to bring him in. Is he the Lisa Kudrow character?
Either that or one of the he can be Chaz Palminteri, I guess.
I guess. Or should he be the fatso guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That would be good because he's kind of a fuck up, right?
He's kind of a fuck up, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that would be because there's a.
Or can we just use the Rocky cast? So we bring in Apollo Creed himself, Carl Weathers. He's the psychiatrist.
Okay.
Stallone's playing.
Well, he kind of plays the psychiatrist in Rocky 2 and Rocky 3.
Rocky 3 more.
Yeah. Rocky 3 is the psychiatrist. Kind of does, yeah.
I mean, he does help Stallone break through the running through sand, which That's is true. The father issues of Rocky movies.
Yeah.
And so then we bring him in. Stallone, obviously, the De Niro character.
Yeah.
We bring in Burt Young as Chaz, because fucking always fucking his shit up. His goddamn shit up.
He really is the rival gangster to Rocky.
Yeah.
Can we bring in Mickey in there somewhere?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the obvious answer is bring in Talia Shire as the Lisa Kudrow role.
Yeah, yeah.
But what if we just say fuck it and go Burgess Meredith?
Yeah, let's go Burgess Meredith.
I mean, it's more progressive. He's a better actor.
And he yells at him
and
a lot.
And he's a better stick man.
Yeah, he is.
He's a legendary.
He's clearly legendary
better stick man. So yeah.
He's the one that would yell at him the most, like Lisa Kudrow should
That's
yell at
true.
Him.
That's true.
He's a ragged machine.
You're going to go. You're going to blow this marriage. Yeah, yeah. Like I blew my chance at the heavyweight title. Yeah. You should have seen me, kid.
It's because you could have been something.
You're a bum.
Yeah. We're just trying to get married over here. Because I love you, you know. We're just trying to get married. Now I just kind of want like a homosexual.
Burgess Meredith Stallone. Oh, man.
Like drama. Yeah.
The chemistry's so good together.
It is. Yeah. Oh, man. Only at the end, you know, instead of yelling Adrian, he calls for old Mickey.
Yeah.
And just kiss at the end, and that's where it ends on freeze frame. Amazing. That shit fucking
That would be insane. Man.
So anyway, I think we fixed this movie.
Yeah, we definitely fixed. Analyze this. Yep. The movie we were talking about and not Rocky.
Yeah. Should we step it up to the 90s more?
With our references?
Yeah.
Talking about 1976's Rocky?
Yeah, exactly. Rocky 5, I guess?
We can start talking about Judge Dredd and Demolition Man.
Yeah, as long as we stay with Stallone. Yeah. Yeah, we could do Cliffhanger. We could do that one where he's under
Daylight
the tunnel. Yeah, Daylight.
Daylight, yeah.
Pretty solid.
The Specialist.
Yeah,
Assassins.
That's right. Yeah.
With him and Antonio Banderas.
Copland,
of course.
Stop
man.
Or My Mom Will Shoot.
That was 80s.
Was it 80s still?
That was 80s still, yeah.
He went into a caricature of himself before De Niro did, like by 10 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Good on you, Stallone.
Yeah, I guess you're, as always, Stallone ahead of the curve. Ahead of the curve every time.
Yeah. He's like, oh, De Niro's playing like a fucking caricature
of
himself?
I did that shit
10 years ago. Yeah. All right. I did Tango Cash. Ooh, he's a nerd in that.
Yeah, yeah. He's a goddamn nerd. For the first 10 minutes of that movie, Tony's like, fuck this nerd shit.
Yeah, I'm just shooting guys in the face.
Yep. I'm fucking badass. Look at me. I'm fucking Sly Stallone.
Yeah.
All right, dude. I'm going to do a shower scene where you see all my goddamn muscles.
Yep. I cannot die in a movie.
I can't die. He's never done it.
Look it up. Never died in a movie.
Even The Last Rambo. Unbelievable.
No, he had to get on the animated horse and animate right away.
Creed 3 won't do it.
No. He just won't even come out in it.
Nope.
Because he knows that the next logical step is for him to fucking die. And realistically, if you're looking at the movies.
And actually, I mean,
if you want to give Creed a motivation for anything, is kill Rocky.
Yeah.
Somehow.
John Wayne died in a couple movies.
Yeah.
Is he going to do it?
Even he did it. Yeah.
Has Schwarzenegger ever died? I mean, Terminator 2 and Terminator 1 for that.
Yeah,
movie.
Actually.
In Terminator 3. Every Terminator movie. Yeah.
He's done in every Terminator movie, actually. Yeah. All right. So he's done it a lot of times.
As I thought about it. I was like, yeah, every single Terminator movie ends with him dying.
He's died in all of them. So yeah, Stallone won't do it.
He won't do it, man. He's definitely died before, right? Does he die in Jackie Brown?
No, he does. Samuel Jackson shoots him in the fucking chest.
Yeah.
But if you're doing Creed where he's like this Yeah, up this bum guy who's like coming up and stuff and trying to prove something. And then in part two, he's fighting a Russian guy.
Right.
And in part three, the Electrical Step.
His mentor dies. Yeah. And he has to get over that.
Exactly.
The first movie is dealing with his father issues. The second movie is dealing with like his marriage and like like being a father and having and also, have a family.
And dealing with becoming like big and
being
stuff.
Being a champ.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you still have the Eye of the Tiger?
Yeah. And the third one is with this mentor dying.
Yep.
But fucking Stallone won't do it, that won't piece of it. Shit. Who's also my hero.
Who's also the best of all time, ever.
All right, well, that was Analyze This.
Yep. Analyze This, starring Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and all of our best friends from the 80s.
And the robot.
The robot. Yeah. So next week, we're going to be back with a movie that I guess is a symbol of things to come.
Yeah.
And things of the past. This is the fourth movie in this franchise that would go on to be rebooted many, many times, including next year.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking Batman and Robin.
We should get George Clooney on here, even though it's Batman and Robin.
We should get George Clooney. I mean, that's his favorite movie he's ever done.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the one
he's
should
most
talk,
proud of.
The one we should talk to him about. Yeah. Yeah, we should totally do.
I mean, I imagine. What's fucking O'Donnell up to?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably voice work.
Yeah, TV and voice work.
Yeah,
that's
probably
what everyone's doing.
Yep. But yeah, Batman, Robin.
Joe Schumacher's
dead. I'm kind of surprised, like excited.
How low it is?
I'm excited for. I'm weirded out by how low it is on the list because it's a Batman movie.
It is crazy to think that a Batman movie
would be that low.
Yeah.
That's good. That's wasted and watched.
That's how much. Well, yes, obviously.
Clear.
That's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
But it just shows you how much people didn't like Batman Forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get Val Kilmer on it then.
Yeah. And he just talk shit about how bad Clooney is and how much better he was at being Batman.
Yeah. And then how his career, he's still like making a lot of excuses for his career.
Yeah.
Being like, well, George Clooney's got this, but you know, I got a lot of stuff going on too. You know.
Was George Clooney in Heat?
No,
George
was
Clooney
not.
Wasn't it? Was he in Tombstone?
No, right?
Was he in Top Gun?
Case closed.
Yeah.
Until then, though.
I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.